B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, I feel the NHL is finally narrowing something down. And I like it. And I like their proposal. And I'll tell you what I like most about it. Now, the thing I was fighting against to begin with was too big of a playoff field. But they have this whole thing. They have this whole problem where there were bubble teams. There were still, whatever, 10, 11, 12 games left in the season, depending on the team. And if it ended today, there were some teams outside the bubble that still had games in hand that by points percentage would have been in the playoffs, but by pure points were out of the playoffs. Plus, there was still time in the regular season, so teams that had not been eliminated yet still had a chance to make the playoffs. So the NHL has had a problem appeasing all of those teams. So their solution is a 24-team playoff, which sounds absurd on the face of it, but what's the alternative? The alternative is to bring all 31 teams back and play out the remainder of the regular season. But that's asking too much. And my main thing is I don't want Montreal in any playoff format because I think that's just weaselly in a back door, and I hate it. It makes my skin crawl. But I'm willing to sacrifice in these times. We all have to sacrifice something, and this is what I'm willing to sacrifice. You want to let them in, let them in. But the alternative, Maz, to a 24-team playoff is to bring all 31 back and play out the regular season, in which case you're taking away now, I'll say, you're taking away tests for the Ottawa Senators and the Detroit Red Wings to play out the string. Now you're bringing in people for a quarantined environment for a bunch of teams that have nothing to play for. That's a waste. That's a waste of resources. That's a waste of testing. That's a waste of everything. That's a waste of everyone's time and effort and energy. And so, those half dozen teams that are mathematically out, they're out. So I have no problem with them. If that's what it takes to expand the playoffs, not to bring in those extra teams, I think that's fair. Okay, I got more thoughts. It's hard to know when you're going to jump in there or not.
I tend to agree that when that was brought up last week, the idea of keeping away the teams that don't have anything to play for appealed to me in every sport because there's no point in enhancing the risk for teams that have nothing to gain.
Okay, so initially that's what the league wanted to do, but they gave up on it over logistics and safety concerns and all of that. Here's the new model. 12 teams from each of the two conferences would gather. Now, this was from over the weekend. It's evolved a little bit today, but they would gather in either four or two hub cities. So you'd either have six teams per city or 12 teams, but it would be by conference. Okay, so Bob McKenzie said two hub cities. Vegas would be one. Over the weekend, it was four hub cities, six teams per city. Each of the four divisions would be gathered in one city. The Eastern Conference, though, would have one crossing over from the Metropolitan because the Bruins division, the Atlantic, is such garbage that seven teams qualify over there and five would qualify from the Atlantic. This is what, again, according to what they were talking about, the Atlantic division hub would look like. The hub meaning all these teams go to this city. Boston, Tampa, Toronto, Florida, the Rangers would cross over, and Montreal. And so the seedings would actually be the Rangers ahead of Florida because the Rangers have more points. When you actually seeded it out, the Rangers would have more points than Florida. Okay? So as was written by Burnside over the weekend in The Athletic, there seems to be near universal agreement that along with an extended period of on-ice training, they'll need 3 weeks of training camp, it's impractical to simply begin with playoff games or even play-in elimination games because players and coaches from the top teams have been clear they don't think it's fair if there was a bye for them while other teams are playing meaningful games, if that's the type of system that was implemented. So I hope everyone's following. If you start with 24 to get down to 16, you're going to have some teams with byes, and you're going to have others playing in to get to 16. Like, for example, what they would simply do in each of the four cities with the six teams, two teams would get byes, and the other four would have a quick little 2 out of 3 playoff round to get two out of that to finish with four. Does that make sense? Am I giving everyone a popsicle headache?
No, it's easy enough to follow along.
Okay. No, I got you. Yeah, go.
Okay, so, but they think that's unfair because, for example, in our division, you would have Boston and Tampa sitting there, while Toronto and Montreal and then Florida and the Rangers played off, and they would have played two or three, you know, high-intensity games, and the Bruins and Lightning would be coming in having played nothing. So how do you square that? How do you square that? So what they're talking about is give all teams time to get back up to game speed. Multiple sources indicated that this 24-team model would begin with a round-robin lead-in mini regular season to the playoffs, with each team playing each other in its group five games. Okay, given no travel, this could be accomplished in about 8 or 9 days, they say. Now, these games would count. They would count in terms of playoff seeding, but it wouldn't be from scratch. You would combine the point percentage you had gained in the regular season with the point percentage you have in this little mini round robin, and then they would seed the six teams 1-6, and then you would get your bye. Does this make sense?
Yeah, because
yes, totally.
Because even if the Bruins went into this thing cold, they were so far ahead of everybody else, they'd really have to suck in this, you know, mini start to their little season to lose a bye. So I'm happy about that as a Bruins fan.
I hope this is not confusing people, but to me, it's the best of both worlds. So basically, all the advantages, the standing advantage you gained in the regular season, it carries over.
Which it should.
So what they're really just doing is extending the regular season for the 24 teams, not the 31. They're extending the regular season for just the 24. And so the five-game regular season will be to determine playoff seeding, and you still get the byes for the first and second seed, and you get to bake in the lead that you gained in the regular season. The Bruins were 10 points clear on Tampa. Did you realize that? They're 10 points clear on Tampa when the season came to a halt, which means that's a glorified exhibition little thing for the Bruins. They're still going to be the number one seed. Tampa's still probably going to be the number two seed. But the games still count. They still have to, you know, they still have to show up and perform, because if they go 0-5 and someone else goes 5-0, they could lose their seeding. But basically, they get to bake in the advantage they gained in the regular season. The mini round robin counts. And so they've actually run the numbers and run the projections. They think the division, after that little mini regular season plays out, is going to be what I just gave you, that the seedings are going to be Boston, Tampa, Toronto, the Rangers, Florida, Montreal. So 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5, Toronto, Montreal in the play-in, Rangers, Florida in the play-in, and the winners play Tampa and Boston. Have I given anyone a popsicle headache yet? I hope that makes sense, because when I read it, it finally made sense to me, and I finally liked it. Yes, Montreal's in, but Montreal has to do a play-in, and that's that. If they get past Toronto, then you get them in the second round, first round, whatever you want to call that. But those little play-in rounds get you to the round of 16, if you will, get you to the 16 regular playoff format, 7-game series, 4 times 7, and off they go, and that's how they would do it.
Well, and look, I think that the thing that it does is it meets the needs of a lot of teams by doing it this way. So I do it like Murray. I like the fact that the Bruins and Tampa shouldn't have to play in that play-in round. I mean, what the hell are we doing here? You're going to play 70 games of the regular season, you know, effectively 85% of the regular season, and then throw it out the window? No way. I'm pissed. And at the same time, you want them to have some games, because they shouldn't have to jump into a playoff series cold. So what they've effectively done is they've waited this little round-robin thing to benefit the teams that were in good standing before the pandemic hit. And so this makes sense. Again, I don't, if you're asking me, I don't feel the need to go out of my way to appease those teams who are, 20th in the league. Like, if you were out at 70 games in, so be it. Screw you. But they are going to need games for everybody when they come back, and they also want to get to the playoffs quickly. So, to me, this makes a lot of sense. So,
it's the lesser of two evils. I mean, the Senators, Red Wings, Kings, like these crap teams, they have no business being around, and I don't want to see any of that. I don't think anyone wants to see that. So, I mostly like it. I fully expect Montreal to end up beating the Bruins, though.
I've already resigned myself to that.
So,
the part that just bugs me to no end is that Montreal would have a chance, and they'd be in it. And Chicago on the other side, those two teams are so far out of it. They've been so far out of it. They have no business being in this thing, but they'd be let in. All right. And the way it looks to me is that you would be sitting there waiting for Toronto and Montreal, the winner, the winner you would get in the first round, the classic first round, seven-game series. The little play-in there would be Toronto and Montreal. And the team that really gets screwed is Toronto, because Toronto has been in the playoffs all year long. They've been easily clear of the playoffs all year long. Now they're in a do-or-die, one-and-done sort of mini-series against Montreal and Carey Price. And the Canadiens, who have sucked all season long, might have a chance to be in the playoffs, and Toronto would be out. So Toronto gets port, which I don't care about. But you'd be facing the winner. Who do you want? Who do you want?
Oh, Toronto.
I'd rather play Montreal.
Toronto.
Toronto. You guys are crazy.
Maz, they have Toronto's number. It doesn't matter even if it goes seven games. Toronto will find a way to blow it.
Toronto.
If they get Montreal, they will lose.
They'll lose.
You guys are idiots. You always go for the less talented team. That whole Canadiens curse thing, like, when's the last time that existed?
Oh, it's real.
Oh, God, you two are morons.
It's real. I couldn't take the psychological damage. I could not take, at this juncture in our world's existence, I could not take the psych, that would be the straw that broke the camel's back, Murray. We all have our breaking point.
Mike, it'd be so 2020. Of course that's what's going to happen.
Bring them. Give me les habitants.
All I care about in sports anymore is Montreal never winning. My life's goal as a sports fan, beyond one of my teams winning, is Montreal never winning again. If Montreal never wins another cup and I die, I'll die a happy man. It's my only goal in my sporting life. Okay? Montreal, who's been out of it for so long, never mind that Claude is, you know, coaching him too, and they've sucked for years, and they suck this year. They're 10 points out of the playoffs, 10 points out with 9 games to go. Okay? That's a joke. They have no business. If they sneak into this thing and then beat Toronto in that little plane and then beat you in that first round, I couldn't handle it, Maz. I couldn't take the psychological damage.
Oh, gosh, please. Would you stop with this? Like, first of all, the Bruins this year are a superior team by a wide margin. You don't want to play Toronto because of the talent. The high-end talent on Toronto is really, really good. And maybe the Bruins do have their number. I don't disagree. Honestly, I think they'd beat either one if you want to know the truth.
Goaltending. But who's got the better goaltender?
Montreal does.
It's not even close.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They'll beat either team. They're better than either team. Stop thinking like a loser.
Oh, God, I can't help it. When it comes to Montreal, I can't help it. I am psychologically damaged.
Two of you.
Maz, who was the better team in 2013-14?
Murray, how many years you want to go back?
Oh, I'll
That's
go
not
back
that
as,
long ago.
I'll go back as far as you want, dude.
What, 6 years? Isn't a long time ago?
Maz, the entire history
was
of these
Pasternak
two teams.
Was Pasternak even playing then? Like, no, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You guys are, seriously, you guys are, these people think the past, something that happened 40 years ago matters?
Well, Murray mentions 2013-2014. Who was the Bruins goalie in that season?
Rask.
Who was the Montreal goalie?
Price.
Oh, I guess so. What? I'm not allowed to bring that up?
Yeah, Maz, what makes no sense is you, the butcher of all things pork and the biggest believer in porking, you don't think a porking would come when the historical porking that the Montreal Canadiens have given to the Bruins, when the Bruins have been the better team?
The Bruins will beat the Canadiens this year.
So if you're rooting for this, you're a sadist.
You guys are idiots.
Just overall, the Bruins get screwed a little bit in this with the pandemic. Like, this is the least of our, you know, like, I'm not saying this is a big world problem, but the way the Bruins were, it was set is the way it stood. They were so clear of Tampa. They were guaranteed that number one seed, basically. And it means their first round matchup was probably going to be one of those metropolitan wildcard teams like Carolina, Columbus, the Islanders, the Rangers, or there was an outside chance of it being the Florida Panthers. Like, a real nice sort of, you know, easy entry into the playoffs, I would say. Carolina, Columbus, Islanders, Rangers, Panthers, like, those are all nice opponents. Now they're either going to get Toronto with all that talent or freaking Montreal. So that, to me, that's not a great thing. I'll take it to get them back on the ice, but I think they lose out in that.
I'd rather play the Canadiens than the Rangers. The not Rangers, me. To me, were giving the Bruins a hard time before this thing happened.
But anyway, that's the best plan. I've finally heard a plan to me that makes sense, that is equitable, that, you know, gives incentive for the teams that had good regular seasons, you know, puts the teams at the very bottom. They still got to work their way in. They're not just automatically granted, you know, entry into the 16 playoff teams. You all get to play regular season games that mean a little something, so you get up to speed. Like, this plan to me makes sense. And, you know, the chatter among the NHL guys is that we're going to hear something this week on it, potentially. So there's that. You're both smirking. Why are you both smirking?
Well, no, it might be time to play Bleu, Blanc, et Rouge is what I'm thinking, because Bleu kind of sounds a little bit like Bleu.
If Montreal gets through, they beat you in the first round. That you can book.
You're delusional.
You can book.
I've resigned myself to it. The Bruins are infinitely better. That Canadiens team sucks, but the Canadiens would find a way to win.
Book it. All right. Back to your calls on everything right after this.
Boston's home for sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Puck rimmed over to the far side. Provorov over the line left side. Feeds to Couturier along the near wall. The Bruins have it with three. Dished up the right side and back into the Flyer end. And this game is final. Tuukka Rask, on his 33rd birthday, will celebrate a 36-save shutout. It's his fifth of the year. The Boston Bruins are the first team in the National Hockey League to 100 points, and they snap the Flyers' 9-game winning streak with a 2-0 shutout here at the Wells Fargo Center.
And that's the last we heard of the Bruins. March 10th, shutout Philadelphia. And for the first time since then, I feel up just a little flicker of light at the end of the tunnel, which with a format that seems to make sense to me, that I'm actually okay with, even with Montreal being allowed in the dance. And so for the first time in over 2 months, I feel it there. With all leads to Maz's Rodenheiser take.
Yep, indeed. Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. Under the circumstances with you two shaking in your boots over the Montreal Canadiens, I've decided, here's my Rodenheiser hot take. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, the hot take is time to change the name of the show from Felger and Maz to Maz and the Two Morons. That's what the hot take is. Are you telling me, in all seriousness, you're afraid of the Montreal Canadiens?
100%.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are idiots.
No, we respect history, Maz.
Oh, that's what it is. History from when? 40 years ago?
No, six years ago.
The Bruins have been to three Stanley Cup finals in the last 10 years, for crying out loud. And you're still worried about the Canadians who haven't won a cup in, what is it, 25 years now?
Yep, you bet. 100%.
Especially, oh, my gosh.
Especially with all the dumping on Claude I've done over the years, how right I've been proven on Claude. My God. I get so few right. I've nailed that one. Freaking nailed it. I made all the boo-hoo Claude crew look like a bunch of fools. I've been swimming in that one for years. Like, that's one of my great victories of all time. It'd be just perfect, just like him and that team, after being out of it again all year, to be let back in, to sneak back in, and to take out the Bruins, who've been the best team in hockey this year, in a 7-game series in Grand Fork, North Dakota. I can feel it coming. I can feel it coming, Maz.
Jimmy Stewart, our producer. Jimmy, if you could please write that on a piece of paper and tuck it under the door of the market manager, Mary Mena, as well as the program director, Rick Radzik. Maz and the Morons. That is the proposed show title change to this program going forward. I'd like to, you know, if and when we get to phase four, I think that's when we should do it. Phase four, Maz and the Morons.
It does have a ring to it. Back to your phones. As promised, everything on the board here on a reentry Monday. David, New Bedford. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I was wondering, I saw a report this weekend that if Major League Baseball doesn't have a season, the Red Sox could lose $188 billion. I wondered what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, David, thank you. I know Maz had a thought on it.
Well, so the story that came out was written by Ron Blum of the Associated Press. And the reason I mention that is that Blum has been a long-time union loyalist. And when I say loyalist, I'm telling you that the union likes Ron. And so they give him information. And so 188 to me, I don't doubt that that's what MLB is saying, that they would lose. My guess is that that info, however, came from the union. That's obviously the money that they told the union they expected to lose. It was an average of $640,000 per game, per team. The Red Sox obviously come in the high end of that, given the size of their fan base and the size of the market and the cost of the tickets. It feels high to me. And so now I assume they are factoring in concessions and things of the like, although certainly the concessionaires, you know, bid on a contract with the Red Sox and then claim much of the revenue from concessions that are sold in the ballpark. I think that number is high. That's over $4.5 million a game.
Well, it's just pure revenue. You know, that's not the net number. You know, that's not saying they're losing that. They're saying that's what the revenue loss is.
And but I'm telling you, I think even the revenue number is high. In a 41 home game schedule, the Red Sox are making, you know, $4.5 million a game.
So I used to. Well, no, that's high. No. That's high. I mean, I used to hear, and this is so. I mean, adjust it for inflation or whatever. But that the Bruins used to net $1 million every home playoff game, which is why and I think all hockey teams are something similar, because the players don't get paid in the postseason. And, well, whatever. You know, it was $1 million a night. Every home, that's why all Harry cared about and Jeremy Jacobs cared about were home playoff dates, because that was $1 million clear every time he had a home playoff game. So, I don't know, four does feel high. And that doesn't include, does that include Nesson or anything like that?
No, I think that's just from basically gate revenues, or, you know, fans in attendance is the way I should put it, not just gate revenues, but any money that would come into the ballpark on a game night. And that I think is high. When I initially saw it, I saw 188. I said, did they give him the 81 game number? Like, that's what I wondered, whether it was the 81 game number instead of the 41 game number, because I think the number is, I think the owners have inflated it.
Chris in Winthrop. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Thought I had was, you talked about the Celtics and the Bruins being able to restart, but last I heard, their facilities are within the city of Boston, and Marty Washer said, regardless of what the Commonwealth does, he is not going to reopen the city of Boston in the near future.
Right, so I asked this before, Chris, where does this leave the Warrior Ice Arena, the Red Auerbach Center, just the places there on the Pike where they practice? Can you get them in there and have a few guys just twirl around on the ice? I've been saying this now for a month. So that's still unclear to me between Baker's thing today and what Marty Walsh said last week. I'm curious about that. And if technically they're not allowed to, can we allow them? Okay. Can we make an exception for if this particular business does well, you shut down the city for a day anyway to run a parade for them through the streets? So you obviously treat them a little bit differently. They obviously are a little bit more important to us, whether that's right or wrong. They just are. Than some other businesses. So can we give them just a little bit of an opening there to get back into the gym or back onto the ice? Still curious about that. Cam and Taunton on The Last Dance. Go ahead, Cam.
First of all, Mike, would you grow up? The Bruins would beat the Canadians in 5 games. This is a coach you have crapped on since you came on here. Now you're scared of them?
Yep, I am. I don't want to.
The Canadians suck. The
no,
Canadians
don't.
No, the Bruins would beat them in 5 games.
They're quick. They're younger. And, dare I say, do they have the better goaltender? Who would you rather have?
Carey Price? Not this year.
Who would you rather have?
The best goalie in the league. Tukarask. Price has declined.
Okay.
On The Last Dance, Mike, you saw last night why what you said a few weeks ago, Super Bowl 53 was superfluous. Why, that's nonsense. I'm sorry. It was important for Brady to tie Jordan, and it was important for the Patriots to tie the Bulls. That's why it wasn't superfluous. I'm sorry. That mattered to me and to the fan base. That mattered.
Thanks, Cam. Do people really bring up the overall championships?
Yeah.
Not often.
I think they do.
Well, but the Celtics won 9? What did the Celtics in the 60s win against all those guys in the belts and the knee pads and all of that? Like, how many did they win there?
8 in a row, 10 out of 11.
Okay, so neither the Bulls nor the Patriots have the number. So what?
Yeah, but because of that, what the competition was, that doesn't really matter to anyone except their old people.
Okay.
I generally compare apples to apples.
Don't tell Wick that. Don't tell one of these green teamers that there's 17 banners, like 15 of them are useless.
I mean, Bob Ryan would want to spit in my face
exactly,
for saying that.
Exactly.
Completely. I go football to football, basketball to basketball. I compare apples to apples.
Seriously, Maz, right? Like, I mean, the sixth, well, it was the fifth that got you Brady Belichick. No one's done that. And, you know, that's the one I think point. I don't really. Do I hear people point? I mean, Montreal, again, you know, in a six-team league, won 24. How many have the Yankees won?
Oh,
27,
I think it is. I mean, look, again, I just think, I mean, I know what Cam's talking about, that it, but Brady is the Jordan of football. But had Brady won 5 Super Bowls and Jordan 6 titles, I'd still be saying the same thing.
Because Brady,
I still think he's the Jordan of football.
Exactly. 5, 6, or 7. I'm saying the same thing about Tom Brady. Not for me, he didn't need it. I'll say that. We continue with your thoughts here on a reentry Monday. I do want to get to the Bundesliga, and we have a professional sports league, team sports, that actually went off this weekend without fans, without piped-in crowd noise, without virtual fans, mannequin fans, sex toy fans in the stands. No, no. They just went on the field, they played the game, and the broadcasters broadcast what was going on without any jackassery. How did we feel about it? We'll get to it right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to an echoing Signal Iduna Park. Against all the odds, it's match day 26. This is the Bundesliga. I'm Phil Bonney. Regardless of the fact that it has to be played without fans in attendance, this is still the biggest fixture on the calendar in the Ruhr region, and it takes pride of place on this match day. This match would normally have over 80,000 pairs of eyes trained on it from inside Signal Iduna Park, but now, with the Bundesliga the only major league returning in the face of the coronavirus, it means that many millions of football fans will be watching this game worldwide.
So I hear you guys watched the German soccer over the weekend, huh, Murray? I'll start with you. You watch it?
That's right. I needed a proper sports rogering, and I turned in the Bundesliga, farting in the face of the worldwide pandemic.
They certainly did. And did you notice? I don't know. It sounded like there was some noise there on that intro. But no fans in the stands, obviously. No piped-in crowd noise. No virtual fans. None of this nonsense that Fox is going to do when the NFL rolls around, which we found out last week from Joe Buck. This was also a Fox production, and they just let the game breathe. How'd you feel about the silent stadium, the echoing stadium, all of that, Murray?
Well, here's the thing. So Gasper and I had a few matches on the TVs in the studio on Saturday doing the show, and I was like, we even talked about it for a few minutes. I was like, this isn't so bad. Live sports, and I'm into soccer. I like it more than baseball. Like, this is pretty good. But then I got home and tried to watch it with the sound on. Nine. It doesn't work. You got to pump in the fake Germans. It doesn't work unless the sound is off. You're doing something else. You're half paying attention like Chris and I were when we were doing the show. As sports wallpaper, it's fine. But if you're really paying attention to it, I'm sorry. I think it's too jarring. It blows without the fans. I'll take it because we got nothing else. But it's too weird.
Maz, you just watched the highlight pack. It's like a 5-minute, you know, extended highlight pack. I saw those too on the Fox website. So, I mean, again, those had no fans or anything. How'd you feel about that?
No, so I was okay with the highlights. And what I was surprised was the level of intensity in the play. And maybe I shouldn't have been. There was one goal that one guy scored in particular. It was down in the left corner. He made this ridiculous move and then cut into the front of the goal and scored. And I thought, wow, that was awesome. And the players looked to me like they were engaged. And that surprised me because I thought there would have been a little bit less intensity just with the absence of the crowd. And I, more importantly, I found myself watching it completely unaware of the fact that the stands were empty. So, but I think Murray's point is a good one, because in my case, effectively, it was wallpaper. Highlights was wallpaper. And so if I were to watch a whole game without a crowd, would it be different? Yes.
But of course, again, it's different. Like, that's not the argument.
Okay,
is it a deal breaker for you to the point where they should pipe in fake noise and fake fans?
No. I want the fake Germans.
No. I mean, I told you, I'll take it. I'll take it. I was pleasantly surprised at how how much I enjoyed it.
Wait a minute. You've changed your mind because you said on the football stuff you actually wanted to see them do it.
Yeah, but again, see, once again, you're twisting around my message. What I said at the time was, I'm eager to see what it looks like and sounds like. I think there's a great chance it's going to suck and it'd be better off without the sound. But I never told you I had to have it for the game. I never said that. Okay, so that was Murray.
Of course it's different. Like, that's, you know, obviously it's different. Can you handle it? And I did watch the game live. I was watching him yesterday. And again, I can't remember what the team is. It Bayern München? Like, I thought it was Bayern Munich, but whatever.
Bayern Munich, yeah.
I was watching that match, I think. And, you know, at first it's a little off-putting, but by the time I got 5-10 minutes in, I was just watching a soccer match. And it was as boring as any soccer match you would have with fans in it. I mean, I still like it. I still like the game, but it was just a ball game. If they faked the crowd noise, I would notice that. But after a few minutes of just watching the soccer, I didn't notice that there weren't fans. If you were faking it, if there's some sort of choreographed sound visual show, that I would notice, and then I'd be reminded there's no fans. And and people in Germany are sort of split on this. But just so you get an idea, folks, because I know you weren't watching. Why would you? Here's what some of it sounded like yesterday. And again, I can't remember which match I pulled this from, but here's the opening kickoff between these two teams. Number two, Jimmy, please.
Extraordinary times. And match day 26 of the Bundesliga kicks off. As I said, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. These two extraordinary sides hopefully will deliver today a revered derby to remember. Well, it already is one to remember, the first one ever to be played behind closed doors. You'll get to hear a lot of what goes on the pitch and from the bench today.
No kidding, there's those Germans screaming at each other there. So you could you can hear the players yelling at each other, you can hear the coaches yelling from the sidelines, you can hear, you know, I'll play you a goal here, you know, someone scores, it's like three guys in the stands.
And it's so cavernous, too. It's just so weird.
Oh, it's weird, man. It's weird, but at the end of the day, well, okay, here's the first goal. Number four, Jimmy. This might have been the free kick there from the old guy. Go ahead.
Well, they knew that they would have to defend today with that very potent front line that Dortmund have got. Can they keep it up for the full 90, though? Hazard's ball. Erling Haaland's 1-0. Classic piece of Dortmund attacking breaks the deadlock. It can be so...
So I'm sorry, that wasn't the free kick. So you hear, and the stadium starts playing like the goal song. So that's what you heard in the back. You still got something. You still got the goal song, but the guy scores, and it's like, here, Jimmy, play number five. Play the second goal.
Before I had the call to work with you, Phil, obviously that's the much more pleasant opportunity to be involved. But I wanted to be there and try to do it as a ball boy.
Chance for number two. He ever applied to be a ball boy, but he is certainly enjoying himself this afternoon. A sixth goal of the season for Rafael Guerrero. Put under pressure and the clearance straight to a Dortmund player.
So it's like six people clapping. That's it. Can you handle that? Or do you need like some sort of fake boo button, fake cheer button, where it's an obviously canned crowd noise? It goes, do you need that?
Do you need that, Murray? I think it'll help the broadcast because I think it's too weird. Otherwise, I mean, I'll watch, but I found it more palatable with the sound down and me kind of half paying attention.
I'll tell you, the other thing that I think is going to be clear as we start watching this thing, you need a good play-by-play guy. Like, if you give me a good broadcasting, you won't miss the crowd as much because they can fill the gaps.
Agreed.
And he's extraordinary.
So apparently, he's a Brit, right, Murray?
That's right, and I keep using the word extraordinary. Yeah. Extraordinary times, an extraordinary match. We live in an extraordinary hell.
That was the word of the day there. So I'm just going to read from the report here. Bayern Munich chairman, the chairman there, Bayern Munich, predicted 1 billion total TV viewers for the Saturday match. Domestic broadcaster Sky Deutschland was happy about a ratings record, so it set rating records with over 6 million Germans watching the Saturday afternoon matches. It was a number to quiet those fans who hoped a boycott would start working and start affecting these spectator-free games. There are fans boycotting this, Murray, some season ticket holders. In fact, they have a name for it. Many season ticket holders and match-going supporters remain averse to the so-called Geisterspiel.
Geisterspiel, ghost games.
The Geisterspiel. That's what they're calling these, Geisterspiel, ghost games. It's not that German language is...
It's uncomfortable. A harsh sound.
It is. It's an uncomfortable language for me. It just is.
These games are Geisterspiel. Oh, God, don't round me up.
The Geisterspiel. They call them Geisterspiel, the ghost games. And so some fans over there aren't happy with it, like Murray, like you guys. Like you need some sort of fake noise virtual fans, mannequin fans in the stands to give you the full Bundesliga feel? Are you kidding me?
Telling you, I got home, I tried watching one of these with the sound on because I was curious. Nine, Danke, Geisterspiel. I need the fake Germans. I want to hear the fake crowd noise.
Yeah, I don't like the Geisterspiel. Give me the Geisterspiel, man. I would so much rather have the Geisterspiel than a laugh track. Than what amounts to a laugh track and mannequin fans and virtual fans. What are you watching, a video game? No, it's just a real sport, and so we actually got what it's like. What was really stood out to me is that the sound it made when it goes in the net, you still hear metal clanking because it's not like you know what I mean, Murray? Like it's you hear
well, the,
every
the shots
sound.
Are getting the shots are getting ripped. That part I actually thought was cool because it's just you don't really hear that, and the strength of those shots coming off those guys' foot, like they're humming in there. You hear how much it's really affecting that net on the steel of the pole. I thought that was kind of
tell
neat.
You what. Now that I think about it, I'd rather have the Geisterspiel than the Felgerspiel.
Listen to the Geisterspiel here. Give me the opening kickoff again. Listen to these Germans screaming at each other when they kick the ball off. Number two, Jimmy.
Extraordinary times. And match day 26 of the Bundesliga kicks off. As I said, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. These two extraordinary sides hopefully will deliver today a revered derby to remember. Well, it already is one to remember. The first one ever to be played behind closed doors. You'll get to hear a lot of what goes on the pitch and from the bench today.
I'll say, it's just echoing off this. It's a little weird. Anyway, what would you rather have? Fake crowd noise, laugh track, virtual fans, mannequin fans? Or the Geisterspiel? Murray, again, you're voting?
I want no Geisterspiel. Nine, Danke. I want the fake Germans.
Okay, so your thoughts on this wrapped into everything else. It is a reentry Monday. It is brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. You can join us at 617-779-0985. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They say it.
Well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're getting it back, and it's going to be fast. They'll start off with small crowds, if any. And you saw UFC the other night. They had really just a lighted ring in the middle of an empty arena, and I'm not sure that so many people miss the fans. I don't think so in that particular case. But look, we want to get it back to where it was. We want big, big stadiums loaded with people. We don't want to have 15,000 people watching Alabama LSU, as an example. And we want to have, when you have the Masters, we want to have big crowds. Now, right now, that's not what they're planning, but you never know what happens. Things can happen very quickly. And we're looking at vaccines. We're looking at cures. And we are very, very far down the line. I think people are going to be very impressed with what is being developed right now. Some tremendous things. I have meetings on it every day, and we have the most brilliant minds working on it. And we're working worldwide on that also. We have no ego when it comes to that. But I think some tremendous things are going to be coming out very soon.
All right, Trump calling into the Gulf about the return of sports and fans and all of that. He does not want the Geisterspiel. Here's Ken in Vermont on that. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, guys. So I actually watched every German soccer game this weekend because I'm actually a huge Dortmund fan. And the Dortmund-Schalke game, which is the first one that you were playing, was great because, like, the echoes kind of brought something new to it. But then if you watch, like, some of the ones that were in the smaller stadiums, like the one in Berlin that Munich was playing, was just weird because it was like they were playing on a Sunday day rec field because there was just no echo, no nothing, no energy. So, like, I think you need the bigger stadiums if you're going to go no fans. Otherwise, pipe it in. I'll listen to the fake crowd noise. Thanks a lot.
Oh, come on. So what? A big echoey stadium works, but not a tight little one with no echoes? Like, what are you talking about?
It sounds like a bunch of guys playing at the Y. It's just, I think it's too jarring. I really do.
But it's not. It's the finest soccer players in the, you know, some of the finest soccer players in the world.
I know, but I just, from an audio standpoint, just give me, like, I don't need boos, like fake boos or fake big cheers, unless there's a goal scored. Like, you need to have the sound of an up, but I need, like, just that ambient buzz, you know, the just that, like, underneath. That's all I'm looking for.
So, again, the four guys clapping, give me number four again, Jimmy, the first goal that broke the Geisterspiel.
Well, they knew that they would have to defend today with that very potent front line that Dortmund have got. Can they keep it up for the full 90, though? Hazard's ball, Erling Haaland's 1-0. Classic piece of Dortmund attacking, breaks the deadlock. It can be so simple.
Not exactly 80,000 fans on their feet, is it?
No, and credit to that guy who's the play-by-play, because he's really good. Like, he actually helps that tremendously. If you have someone lesser than him, and you know, I can't imagine many play-by-play guys are on his level, if you have that many games going on, like, ugh, it's too weird. It sounds like every high school practice.
Every time a boat hit the ball, you could hear it. Every time the whistle was blown, you could hear it. You could not just hear the ball going in the net, but you heard the sort of metal clip-ons, you know, rattling there when it hit the net every time, and I didn't mind it one bit. And I found that so much more pleasant of an experience than if they're trying to pipe something in there and I get this phony baloney laugh track just in a crowd context. But you know Fox isn't going to be able to help themselves when it comes to the NFL. You know they're going to do it for that.
Look, I told you, the I was pleasantly surprised at the feel of the intensity that was coming from the action on the field. And so to me it was reassuring in some ways. Like, Murray, you say it sounds like a high school practice. I mean, we've all been to those. We've all watched high school games with kids in it that, you know, that have had kids that we're interested in, whether your own or neighbors or someone else's. And I'll tell you what, if those games are well played, I enjoy being at them. I don't see why I wouldn't enjoy watching these.
Mark and Medford.
I get bored. I need to. I talked to Angela Merkel. I didn't like it without the fans. It was crap.
Mark and Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Mike, in the NHL, they probably wouldn't have to worry about it because it would probably be on silent anyway, because you can hear it now during when the crowd is screaming, all the F-bombs that are dropped on the ice. Can you imagine with no sound in the background? They'd have to hit the bleep button every 2 seconds.
So how would hockey sound without the fans? I think it would be sort of a nice, hypnotizing almost kind of feel with the skating, the sound of the puck against the boards or the glass, the sound of the puck against the stick. I don't know, like if you spend time in empty arenas, Maz, as you do, your kids play, like just the sound of hockey without the fans. Like, well, I don't know. I think it'd be totally fine.
Well, hockey in particular, I will say, has a, you know, there is a distinct sound to it, right? Because of what you just said. And so the puck hitting the stick, the puck hitting the boards, and you can distinguish between the force of one shot versus another or even a hit. And so to me, in a lot of ways, look, football in a lot of ways will offer you the same thing. Like, how many times have you heard people say, have you ever watched a game on the field or did you hear that hit in the arena? Like, one of the things I remember about the Patriots-Seahawks Super Bowl, and obviously there was a crowd there, every hit, it felt like every play was like a car accident. And I think that these games have the chance to give you that.
The sound that we hear, you know, as you go back and watch, because it's all there is, the old NFL film stuff of the mic'd up players, like the pads and the grunting. Like, remember those sounds we used to get?
Of course.
I think it'd be fine. I think they'd be so much better, again, than fake crowd noise. We're going to reset the latest from Major League Baseball and their 67-page proposal. There are some doozies in there. Get your thoughts on that. It is a reentry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank, and it continues without any commercial interruption. Just a quick update here from Murray, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.